You hear that buzzing?
Not yet.
Then it's got to be my headphones.
Just checking to make sure it's not in the air.
It's the air conditioning.
Ah. So we're okay with that.
We can't help that.
I don't think it comes through the, like, our voices are going to be way more.
No, it's. I don't think it's actually coming through the headphones so much as I'm just hearing it.
And
interpreting it.
Ambient
as,
noise. Yeah. Okay. Sweet.
And then it just shut off. So
hey,
we're good.
Good time for this. Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus for a second time.
And I'm Aaron Flores for the 250-some time.
53rd.
Oh, yeah. We are the show that... Oh, wait. No, you say that.
We are the show that brings you somewhat disorganized conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living. And today...
News. Which is mail from the world.
Writing at night. Mail from the world. I'm going to call it that from now on. I honestly am not sure what comes out of my mouth until it's out there.
It's all good. No, Mojave agreed. He liked it.
He liked it.
Yeah,
okay,
so I think,
well,
yeah.
There you go. If it gets him to read the news a little bit more, maybe,
there we go.
You know, then mission accomplished.
He's a responsible global citizen now. It was fun to have the Schmidts back in. Andy and Chele and Anza and Mojave.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
I will admit I was a little anxious coming in. Just knowing, like, last time it was a little tense.
Oh, yeah. It was the first time they'd been in a radio studio as a family.
Exactly. And, you know, we also didn't quite know how to engage the kids at the time. And, like, now we're better.
Yeah, the kids were not necessarily very comfortable their first time in. And they were tired. And, yeah, and the parents were nervous. And so this time around, they knew what to expect. And they delivered on the goods, as you know,
yeah,
as they did before, I think, but now they were more comfortable,
yeah,
which really is that's really what it's all about in the end.
Yeah, I mean, I remember after that first time we recorded, I even toyed with the idea of like bringing the studio to them,
like what if we just took microphones towards them somewhere.
Yeah, like what if we just, you know, went to your house with our recorder and
totally
and did it there, that way you're all more comfortable.
And we might still. You know, it would be fun to take the Sprocket Podcast on the road, domestically or elsewhere.
Speaking of which,
yeah.
Do you have a venue? No, just kidding.
Well, no, I mean, like, honestly, if anybody can help us get to the city that they want us to be in and, you know, and we have the time, we'll do it.
Yeah.
We'll easily do it.
I think that'd be fun.
The Sprocket Podcast, live from, you know, anywhere. So.
Live from the Jersey Shore.
That's right. That's exactly. That was my first option.
I was thinking, how far to the next coast?
Yeah. New Jersey. Yeah. I was thinking about going to New Jersey, actually, the other day. Let me say that clearly. I was thinking about going to New Jersey the other day.
The other day you were thinking about going to New Jersey.
No, I was
thinking. You weren't thinking about going to New Jersey the other... Like,
I was thinking about time traveling.
Well, I was thinking, like you were thinking about going to New Jersey that day. Like, I'm going to go... Now,
yeah,
I'm gonna pick up a ticket, and
if your time machine also has the benefit of displacement, so like, you know, it's both a time machine and it will drop you off anywhere.
Well, it better.
It's a time machine.
I mean, for what I'm paying for time machines these days, I mean, right?
Well, yeah, except this is the old model. You got the XS, and this is just the X, and so yeah. My time machine will only take me to the past and where that time machine is currently located.
Mine has AM and FM radio.
Yeah, and weather band.
And
so it's all, this is the many advancements in quantum theory since I got mine. So anyways, I was thinking about going to New Jersey because I have a branch of my family tree comes from there. And I was thinking, like, what if I just went down to Bud Lake, New Jersey and looked around? Would I see any drakes there? Maybe.
Oh, that's your family. That's
some of my ancestors had the name of Drake.
I see.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So we'll find out. Also, I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's someone in like New Haven, Connecticut or something like that. On a slightly different branch. But anyways, yeah, that's a thing. Neither here nor there. See what I did there?
Well, it's over there. It's there. It's definitely there, but it's definitely not here.
Right, right. So should we do the news first in the mail?
Sure.
And then
sure.
Maybe I'll wrap up as a shout out to Terry from the Beermongers.
Yes.
Because, you know, Sean's brother Terry. Sean owns Beermongers. Terry was there having beer.
Also on their cross team.
Yes, that's right. He asked about my overnight ride that I did to Tacoma in one night from Portland, which was 150 miles. And I realized that, you know, after I did that, I promptly left the area. So we haven't had a chance to talk about it yet.
Yeah,
so.
we talked about your trip with Adele.
Right.
Well, and, you know, you guys sent updates along the way. But because of that, I think that overshadowed the night ride, and we need to talk about the night ride.
You know what overshadowed the night ride?
The sun.
Night. Oh. Yeah, exactly. It all happened while everybody was asleep. So, yeah, we're going to talk about that after the news and the mail.
All right.
So, first off.
First up, mail from the world.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
I just downed like half of my water bottle.
Wow.
Felt really good.
I wasn't even looking. I can't appreciate that now.
Overshadowed.
Yeah. Hey, first up from road.cc via Bike Portland. Amish frustrating drivers in Kentucky as new ruling allows them to ride bikes. A new ruling allowing Amish people to ride bikes is creating chaos for motorists in Kentucky.
Chaos!
According to local officials. While motorists have long been frustrated by the horse-drawn carriages on the roadways, now the community is taking to bikes as well.
In local reports, the Amish just took to bicycles. What will become of our fair roadways?
Are you trying out for, what is it, Kick-Ass Oregon History?
There once was a man in Oregon.
I don't know.
That's almost the voice, exactly.
I got that from my bandmate, Charlie Barker, who will sing into his hands to give kind of an old-timey sound.
I've seen people sing into styrofoam cups.
Oh, really?
Cut the bottom out.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Kind of like a tiny bullhorn.
But, of course, that requires styrofoam.
That does, which is a non-renewable resource.
Yeah. Quote, the bicycles are rampant out there, and the bicycle techniques are perhaps less than desirable.
They're pedaling the things.
It just seems like there's a safety issue. Davies County Commissioner Nathan Gabhart told GC Daily World. Even with the explosion of bicycles in the Amish country, officials say the county has been fortunate in terms of serious accidents. Quote, we've had no serious accidents reported yet.
So do we know that these are Amish people on bicycles, like pedal bicycles?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm assuming as much.
The Amish have long had what they call Amish bikes, which are basically a large 26-inch wheel scooter.
Okay.
So there's that. But I'm assuming if it's a new ruling, well, we were talking about this before we started recording.
Right. Like, I was like so unclear about it because I thought the Amish rode bikes in general. But
right.
It's like this sort of modified bike.
At least if it's old order Amish, I believe they were prohibited by their elders from riding bicycles because it would take them too far away from their community too quickly, thus breaking the bond of community that they had built. So,
right.
Yeah. But I always wondered why the Amish would not ride bicycles because they're all about simple transport. So.
Yeah, and it's a simple machine. Other than the fact that it requires a lot of infrastructure to make a bicycle. I mean, in comparison to like the Amish
technology. Oh, well, yeah. But I mean, that hasn't stopped them from using air power. You know, sure. like they won't use electricity, but they'll use compressed air. They will use the right. shit out of compressed
air.
Oh,
really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Like whole shops just based off of
but
compressed air.
Doesn't
tanks.
That take electricity to, like, all the air compressors I can think of right now
yeah,
require
yeah.
electricity?
Oh, sure. But they're not the ones doing it. They just order tanks of air. Just like many Amish are employed in the RV industry, building RVs,
yeah.
especially like in Wisconsin,
but they won't use RVs.
Minnesota,
okay.
I think.
Hey, man.
Or maybe is it Ohio? Anyways.
I'm no judge.
No, no.
It's cool.
I mean, do your thing. Do what you like.
Do your thing, Amish. It's cool.
But also, how do you explain like the Amish cabs where like they're not allowed to drive themselves, but they will take so many rides in cabs?
Oh, really?
Yeah, to the point where like in heavily populated Amish areas, like in Pennsylvania, Lancaster County, there are tons and tons of cab services that cater specifically to the Amish market.
This is a fascinating world to me.
So you'll have what they call English or Gentile or something, like
yeah.
some guy who's not of their faith. Driving them around. He's like just sitting in the driver's seat. He's got like, you know, like a ball cap on or something. And then you've got like the Amish dude with the beard and the hat and everything and the
yeah.
vest and like the handmade clothes. And he's sitting in the passenger seat and they're hauling like furniture that they're going to finish or something or refinish.
So do you think the Amish would like to be interviewed on a podcast?
I doubt it.
Can
we call them on the phone?
Can we call?
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, and maybe we should reference back to is it episode 7 of the Sprocket podcast from 2011 in January, I think. I spoke to an Amish guy on a train because that's one of their accepted methods of transport.
Right.
They can't drive the train, but they can ride on the train.
Right.
Whereas they do not fly. So I met a guy, and it was a long time ago now, but my experiences talking to him have been cataloged on the internet, so that's there.
I'm going to go back and listen to it now.
Excellent. It was fun. It was kind of like meeting a rock star, except except the inverse of a rock star.
The inverse rock star.
I have all your albums. I have all your furniture.
I've got all your carvings.
Exactly. So anyways, this is fascinating. So that, and then in completely different news, this.
From OregonLive.com, Daniel Harkins and the Oregon National Guard to hit fire lines as John Day area blaze grows. And just to be clear, I added the Daniel Harkins bit.
Yeah, our friend Daniel Harkins, who is a big-time bicyclist, he is also a part of the National Guard, and he was called away to help fight fires.
Yeah.
I believe in eastern Washington.
Oh,
I'm not sure.
He was deployed in Washington.
He was deployed, yeah, out of a place in western Washington to a fire somewhere.
I don't want to read this news now.
Well, I think he might have been in Chelan, which is where I was last year.
Ah, okay.
So the place I was last year is now like apparently torched.
Oh, that's sad. That's where like there's this big retreat center there that has been kind of like untouched over the centuries.
Yeah, is that the town at the other end of the lake?
Yeah, Lake Chelan. It used to be like a mine area, and then the mines, of course, you know, dried up.
Sure.
You know, everybody left, and there was a few people in the community that were like, we can turn this into a retreat center. And
yeah.
I think it was like kind of funded by the Lutheran Church as well.
Okay.
But
there we go.
Yeah. It's like this close knit, like kind of isolated community that people can go to. And if they want to like have a, you know, retreat away from everything.
From everything. Well, the nice thing
it's
about
it's hard to get to.
Yes. So let me say that I don't know the facts, but I want to say that most of the Chelan area that was affected was like Chelan proper.
Okay.
And Chelan is a very long lake. It looks a little bit like a worm if you look at it on a map. And so I believe this place you're referring to, this retreat center, is at the other end of the lake. And so it's very possible that it was not affected by this fire at all.
Okay.
But then it's summer in the Northwest and everything's on fire. So,
yeah. Holy
including
shit.
Our area in which there was a significant amount of smoke to the point where they canceled the movie in the park that my in-laws were going to go to.
Oh, they did?
Mm-hmm,
okay.
On Saturday night. I was at Sky's birthday party, so I didn't go. But apparently it was not enough, all this fire danger. Air quality is poor, so they canceled the showing of Napoleon Dynamite in the park. But they did light off a bunch of fireworks over the Willamette River. Because that can't be stopped. It won't wait.
Hell no.
Yeah, so I'm not sure exactly what to say about that, other than I will note an irony, and I'll move on.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So,
well, anyways,
you got there's another fire in eastern Oregon as well.
Yes,
central Oregon,
John Day area. The first Oregon soldiers activated this season to wildfire duty are expected to take the field outside John Day Wednesday, helping on one of the state's most dangerous fires. The firefighters faced yet more trouble with the discovery Sunday night that a new wildfire about 13 miles north of Prairie City on the slope of Vinegar Hill. The fire was estimated at 15 acres.
And 15 acres, when you consider that like, all of that is on fire, that's a very large fire.
Yeah. And all of that is like trees. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of fuel on the fire.
Yeah,
as well.
Dead trees, like a lot of down and dead limbs on the ground, yep. Which if there were more fires that happened more naturally, more often, perhaps we wouldn't have a problem with all of that. But we've also decided that we like to build cabins in the woods. So those have to be spared.
Yeah.
A lot of personal politics go into that. I'm not going to say it is right or wrong. I'm just going to say we have changed the natural order of things, and forest fires are different than they used to be.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes. Well, yes.
Now
we,
they used.
We don't. We yeah. We can just move on.
Yep.
Yeah. Fires.
Fires. They happen.
They happen.
Yeah. So and best wishes to Harkins, who's still out there in the field. He put a picture up on Facebook the other day.
Oh, he did.
And his face is just like smudged with charcoal and ash.
Oh, I bet.
He's like, yeah, we get dirty out here sometimes. So, best wishes, Mr. Harkins, to you, and you know, speedy return. I hope that the fire is extinguished soon and that he's able to come here and relax again.
Yeah, maybe we can get him on to talk about his adventures.
We need to. We need to. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, this is not related to anything, but Bike Scout's coming up.
Bike Scout, yes.
Speaking of Mr. Harkins of Team Sincerity, the muscle of Team Sincerity, so to speak.
Totally.
I don't know why I put that out there other than like...
Well, everyone who's
anywhere
nearby...
We gotta get the band back together, man.
Anyone who's nearby should probably register and put a team together and go out and do a scavenger hunt around the city. An alley cat, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Up. Oh, next up.
You know what? I just realized. Bike Scout.
Bike Scout. Go register.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah. From Gizmodo.com, a breathalyzer bike lock makes you blow clean before cycling. You might chuckle at the idea of a drunk cyclist, but since they often share the road with motorists, they can be just as dangerous as an inebriated driver. So, if you don't trust yourself to leave your bike locked up after having one too many, this bike lock will only open after you use its built-in breathalyzer.
Yeah. So what's your take on this, sir?
I think it's making a solution to a problem that I'm sure exists, but doesn't exist anywhere near the magnitude of drunk driving.
Okay. So and say we go to a bar at 2:30 a.m. Poll all of the people there. How many of them have bicycles there outside the bar?
Right. Right. Or better yet, let's go to a bar. Yeah. Let's go to a bar and poll. Okay. Do you think you're drunk? Yeah, but I can drive home. Like how many of them?
I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Like, I don't know. An impact at 35 miles an hour plus is going to look way different than an impact at, I mean, how fast can you get when you've drank too much?
On a bike?
On a bicycle. 15?
Speaking purely 20? Hypothetically, I'll say pretty fast.
You think so?
Hypothetically.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess there's that, like, lack of inhibition, so you probably could get going pretty fast. You don't like feel inhibited by like any kind of danger signals, I guess. But I doubt you can get going to 35 for one. 25 is pretty freaking dangerous for an impact, but that's also pretty freaking high for a bicycle to ride.
Right.
Anyways, I'm not advocating for drunk bicycling by any means.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is this lock here sort of, it doesn't sit well with me. This invention
doesn't. If you have to buy a breathalyzer lock.
Well, I mean, why are we not selling breathalyzer keys?
True. Well, and those do exist. Like an interlock for a motor vehicle,
only,
but if you get in trouble.
Only if required by law.
Right.
You know, only until after you've already done some heavy damage.
So if you're
not even after your first DUI.
Such a drunkard.
Maybe not after your second DUI.
You've been through this a couple times.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So there's that.
Yes.
I like the idea in some respects, but then, I mean, like...
As a sense of, like, self-control, somebody, like, knows enough not to trust themselves, maybe, and they're like, yeah, I want that sort of fail-safe.
Sure.
But again, why are we not doing that? Why isn't there a market for that for cars? Like, why is it only, you know, available as something given by law?
I'm just thinking of all the ways to circumvent that system.
Like, how can I get around the breathalyzer lock?
I mean, it's just like anything else that you put limits on. Like, if you try hard enough, there are ways to get around those limits.
Sure.
And it's almost kind of like a self-defeating. I mean, I would argue that if you find yourself in this position often enough, I would say instead of getting a breathalyzer bike lock, maybe you should just, like, amend your habits.
Maybe you should get a breathalyzer 12-step.
Talk to your friends and see what your friends think about your habits.
Yeah.
And maybe either choose a safer mode of transport where you're not in charge of your own locomotion and destiny and direction, and you can't plow yourself into a parked car or a tree or something like that. Or you can't plow yourself into the path of oncoming traffic that can't stop in time for you. I mean, there's a lot of ways that drunk biking can go bad.
Sure.
But there's also a lot of ways to get out of that situation. Like, you know, I mean, say what you will about Uber or any other car sharing sort of thing. There are traditional taxi services. There are other places where you can get someone else to drive you home.
There is also your municipal transit service.
There's also your municipal police force.
That they will get you home, or at least to a place to stay for the night.
Yeah, exactly. There's Cheers, which is our local drunk tank.
Oh, really?
I always wonder what it'd be like to work for them. Yeah, it's ironically so, right? I think it's CHIERS, and I can't remember what it stands for. I'm pretty sure it's an acronym. But that's who you call when there's like some drunk person whom no one is apparently responsible for. Uh-huh. And then they show up with a van, and they put that person in the van, and then they take that person to a holding cell where that person can sober up.
Huh.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So this led me down a rabbit hole last week when I read about this, and I wanted to have like all these statistics backing me up about how much worse drunk driving or intoxicated driving is than... intoxicated cycling.
Uh-huh.
There is virtually zero stats on intoxicated cycling.
That's kind of hard to track, right?
It is. And I'm sure that's why. I also don't know of anybody who's seriously tried to study that either. Which also indicates like how big of a problem it may or may not be.
Well, right. I mean, if someone's personal lifestyle leads them to a point of danger where they're cycling themselves home and they get hurt, like we don't need stats to tell us that that's a bad thing.
Right.
So, yes. Just, you know what? Take care of yourselves. Take care of your friends. And I know that a lot of these bike rides in town, like a lot of them feature some drinking, you know, and, I've been involved in these rides and, someone like me but legally distinct from me might have had too much at one of these rides and attempted to pedal oneself home.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And had friends legally distinct from those friends.
Yes.
Say, like, I'm not sure you should be doing that.
This is all hypothetical. Well, that's the thing. In this hypothetical situation, I think many friends were together and probably had too much and were like, hey, let's all go home.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe none of those friends in this hypothetical situation were in a position to do so safely. So I'm just saying, you know, if you're a friend of a friend, you know, friends don't let friends get hurt. So, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm not saying anything about anything.
Next up.
But I am.
From Oregon Live, again, the Oregonian. Name of woman struck by pickup while riding horse is confirmed.
And this ties in.
Yes. So this, not just, this was just Saturday.
Yeah.
Sergeant Bob Ray, a Washington County Sheriff's Office spokesman, confirmed that Emily Fugetta was struck near Northwest Shady Brook Road and Pumpkin Ridge Road at about 8:45 p.m. Saturday, August 22nd. The horse had died at the time a deputy arrived, Ray said. Fugetta, also a former Oregonian Oregon Live intern, has partial loss of one leg and was taken to Legacy Emmanuel Medical Center in Portland. A hospital spokeswoman said early Monday afternoon that Fugetta was in fair condition. A preliminary investigation indicates that Brown, the driver, had consumed alcohol before collision, but investigators have yet to determine if alcohol was a contributing factor to the collision. Ray said, the sheriff's spokesman said he didn't know whether Brown's blood alcohol content was over the legal limit.
Well, you know what the legal limit is here in Oregon? It's 0.08. percent of your blood stream.
Yes.
Like your total blood content. You take a sample of your blood, and if 0.08% of that is, in fact, alcohol, which it would be after one drink.
One drink?
I believe so.
Okay.
I think one drink will get you to 0.08. And that, of course, there's a fading effect. Like, you know, there's less and less as time goes on.
Sure, as time goes, yeah.
But having had a drink, You have alcohol in your system. You are there over that legal limit. So
you are already over the legal limit.
I believe that to be the case. Someone correct me if my science is wrong, but I believe that is the case. And so if you've been drinking, maybe don't drive.
Or bike,
yeah.
But especially not drive.
Yeah. So anyways.
Yeah. So, yeah, it ties in that going back to my rant, like showing how this person, maybe they had all the best of intentions, but pointing out a problem that on the grand scale of things is not even near as big of a problem as drinking while driving.
Right, right. Well,
you could kill a horse. Here is
it.
Yeah. Here's a dead horse and a woman with partial loss of one leg to prove this. And that was just 2 days ago.
Yeah, and Pumpkin Ridge Road is it's a very rural road.
Yeah,
I would imagine that man was traveling very quickly in that truck. So
as can be in rural areas. By the way, did you know Oregon's rural speed limit? It was 55, is now being increased to 65.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Not exactly happy about that.
Look out. Look out. There's a couple of small roadways that you'd be very careful on, I suppose.
Yes.
So, anyways, I hope that's not too much of a bummer. It's just these are some things that we saw. And, you know, there is some good things in the world, too. And most of those showed up in our mail. So,
yes.
Should we go to that now?
Let's do it.
All right.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
All right.
First up.
Who is the real king of division, and why is he a new donor?
So we will say thank you to the king of division for donating, but
look, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Well,
if
Aaron,
donate under the name of king of division, you can be the king of division.
Aaron has not donated to his own podcast,
no,
so that's
it's not me.
Something to be aware of. Apparently, the King of Division on Patreon says that this King of Division is taking the lane and taking names,
which to me, that is a phrase that Aaron Delaney would come up with.
Okay, so maybe Aaron Delaney.
My money is on Aaron Delaney. This maybe should be our new like sprocket guessing pool.
Right.
I don't know what you would win.
Are you two going to fight?
Delaney and I?
Yeah.
Nah.
Okay.
Best I could handle is arm wrestling.
Okay. Are you going to arm wrestle?
Nah.
Are you sure?
I don't think
How will you remain the king of division?
If he wants it that bad, he can have it.
What about you had mentioned of rather being the Duke of Clinton or something, I think.
The Count of Clinton.
The Count of Clinton, that's right.
I don't know why it had to like alliterate. King of Division doesn't.
So anyways, that's
But he also is on Clinton way more than me too.
Right. So you mean to choose like
I don't know. Maybe we'll just, you know, we'll have
the Bard of
sort
Bush
of
Street.
A Magna Carta of of Portland streets. You can have everything south of Division, and I will have Division and North.
The Shaw of Sherritt.
The Shaw of Sherritt.
I could be the Dean of Duke Street.
There you go. The Dean.
You know, the farther out you go, like the less...
The less... Yeah. The less empowered the title is. You just gotta worry about, like, you know, that one frat house that's always making trouble.
Yeah, seriously.
Gamma House!
Exactly. So, Sebastian says, I'd really like to see what the Schmitz look like on the road. Did they give you their Flickr link? And as a matter of fact, they did. And then he signs off with something that appears to be German that I cannot pronounce.
I don't know. I'll send it out to my translators out there.
Feldwegjuvenin, I think, is what he says. But it's very difficult to both read and pronounce. Although I can see on the Google document that you're copying that right now for your translate program.
Yep.
So anyways, yes, if we go back to the first episode with Schmitz about 4 weeks ago, I believe in the comments there's a Flickr link, and if I'm a responsible podcast poster, I will make sure I get that link in both of those episodes so everyone can see it.
Yay.
Lnute1 responds to Johnny K recommending ratchet straps.
Man, how cool is it when our commenters are commenting to
yes.
each other?
I like to see several generations deep on these comment threads. Johnny K had said, hey, what about ratchet straps? You know, you take some webbing, and then you have like a ratchet end, you just kind of down until it's all tight. What you got here? Oh,
come on now. Do it. Do the thing.
Have enjoyment.
Oh, try that again.
This is the translation from Google?
This is the translation from Google.
Path enjoyment.
Path enjoyment.
Oh, gotcha. Does it tell you how to pronounce the other one?
No, but I bet if I... Yeah, I can.
You work on that. Here okay.
Feldwegvergnügen.
I can't say that. There's no way I can say that. Lnute1 says, thanks. Good tip on the ratchet straps. I'll look into getting a couple. I only have one rack, but I think I'd like to invest in a longer or wider one. One of the trips I went on, I had to go downstairs, up, coming back. I'm guessing she's talking about the gorge.
Oh, yeah.
Removing the historic highway with the stairway.
Yep.
Removing the panniers was tricky with the tent strapped to the rack. With a different rack, I think I could remove the panniers without removing whatever it is I have strapped to the rack, and that will make life easier.
Surly also makes what they call a junk strap.
Oh, yeah.
Is,
you have one.
Yeah, and I like it.
Can you transport things that are not junk?
Well, I mean, one person's trash is another person's treasure. So
it's highly subjective.
Yes.
Consult your local Surly dealer.
But it's basically, you know, those straps that go around like pedal toe clips.
Okay.
It's a long version of that.
Like
So it's not ratcheting, but it's like sort of the non-ratcheting version of a ratchet strap.
Okay. It's something that's held secure.
Yeah, and it holds really
secure.
It's got
like a clip on one end.
Yeah, it's got a spring hinge clip.
So webbing and a spring clip.
Yep.
That seems like a good idea. Yeah. Jim on Twitter, Pedalman52 loves your show. Spin cranks. There's emojis of both a bike and some hearts.
And some hearts.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm assuming that Jim is also Pedalman52, but I could be wrong.
Unless Jim is referring to, like, you know, his friend Pedalman52.
That's true. Yeah. Maybe that's like is it a CompuServe username or something?
I don't know.
Could be.
CompuServe. Andrew from Shoot Film Ride Steel. My other name, other's name.
The name of his other.
Yes, is Stephanie.
Because we couldn't remember.
She's the more hardcore cyclist of the two of us.
What?
PGH could use some signs, though.
So Pittsburgh, apparently, unsigned.
Yes.
In many places. Yeah. Yes. And if we didn't point you there before on the Pedal Shift project, our friend Tim Mooney puts that together. He had a great interview with Andrew and Stephanie on that.
Yeah.
So go listen to that. Pedalshiftproject.net. Wait, pedalshift.net.
Is it pedalshift.net?
Do my best, my best Tim Mooney. Go to pedalshift.net.
He does enunciate very well.
He does.
Yes.
Yeah. Cycle Tour Store, who had a name, and I saw that name earlier and I forget, so we're going to get another tweet about that, I bet. I really enjoyed episode 251 of the Sprocket Podcast. Mr. Doimling talks a lot of sense. Keep up the good work. And that was the one where we talked about cheap bicycle repairs and cheap bicycle part acquisitions.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, we want to have him back sometime soon.
Anna Quincy by Twitter.
You said that very, very quickly and well.
Thank you.
Been building up to that?
I thought if I said it really quickly, yeah, no one would notice if I mispronounced it.
Well, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if I could say Anna Quincy. It's a great name, but it's one of those daunting names that, yeah, to my English and American head is too much. I apologize. Yep.
We're stuck in our own little worlds here.
I am, for sure.
We haven't widened it.
Fortunately, this person still loves us. Great episode 252.
Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto would argue with you on bikeability of his city.
And we have a link to a Streets Films thing.
Yes.
Street Films, which I believe they are Streets Blog, and they are connected. I could be wrong about that. Anyways, so there's a thing there about how great it is to bike in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, to me, I mean, yeah, I've never tried, so I don't know. But
I've never tried either, but I've driven in there. Now, let me tell you.
Right.
I hate driving in Pittsburgh. Maybe. But I don't like driving in Portland either. So.
Right, right. The article says he's now at the forefront of a new wave of American mayors who understand how reforming the design and function of urban streets is a key to growing the city. Damn straight. So we like this and we recommend this.
Glenn already knew about the grapes. Have you not heard of Thompson seedless grapes, also known as sultanas?
I hadn't.
Wiki can be your friend, but I remembered the name from my childhood in California.
That's Glenn in the Bramble Patch on Marrowstone Island in the Salish Sea in Cascadia. Also,
simpler living this week involved killing, butchering, packing, and freezing 9 chickens for frying or roasting, and butchering and canning 4 older hens for soup.
I wasn't aware that you could can meat, I guess.
I didn't know either.
How about that?
Huh. Summer on the homestead, and we are harvesting and storing food.
Oh, it's like the grasshopper that didn't put away enough food for winter.
That's me. So I go to New Seasons.
It's the damn problem with supermarkets, right? You can get food from too many places.
Yep.
We both respect this, Glenn. Well,
this
done
is pretty
for
badass.
Good job. This is a thing that many people don't do anymore. Josh G sends us the Edmonton Cool Bus video. This is a spin-off, almost a reinterpretation. Just like there was like a British office and a U.S. office, and then apparently there was like a German one and a bunch of others.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
If you go to the wiki on that. See, I use wiki for pop culture.
I might have to check these out.
Yeah. But there was a video about how cool bus service was, and now the Edmonton Transit Service, it has a fantastic video of its own.
Yes. Yeah. I was a little disappointed by this video in that I did not see Glenn Kubish.
Right, right. Well, to be fair, he bikes Yegg. He doesn't bus Yegg.
That's true.
I mean, maybe he does. We don't know. He hasn't said.
I just thought he was the king of Yegg.
Yes. That's an undisputed fact. Yeah, and Darren is probably what? Like the prince of something. I don't know. Yeah. Well, apparently he's supposed to come to Portland sometime this fall.
We're just handing out titles.
We are.
To
yes, please
we know.
Bow and let me put this sword on both sides of your head. Then rise, sir, what have you. Yes.
Lastly, Brendan Selby shares The Art of Winning, a video by this, was it Swedish metal band?
I want to say, yeah, Malignant Tumor.
Yes.
And it's got the...
It was awesome.
The band is riding bicycles. They are dressed in Lycra and they are winning at everything.
Everything.
All of these things.
You should watch it. I'm not even going to talk about it anymore.
Yes. Most definitely.
You must watch this like unhindered by my commentary.
it's well worth seeing. So, yeah. Well, hey, I rode my bike to Tacoma in one fell swoop.
Hey,
can I tell you about
it? Let's talk about this here because you did this thing.
I did. So I was curious. I've always been curious about whether or not I could ride my bicycle overnight. Not even overnight. I was wondering from where I live in Portland to where my family lives in Tacoma. It's about 150 miles.
Yeah.
So, obviously, the Seattle to Portland ride, the big organized ride, they have that every year.
220 miles?
Something like that. There's tons of champions that are always, they're always doing it in a day. They're always starting, early in the morning on Saturday and ending at Saturday night down in Portland. And they go fast and they don't stop for anything probably. And who knows? They might they might have all their food in their back pocket or something.
Right.
So always thought like, oh, this is possible for somebody. But what about for me? What about just me? I have a big heavy steel bike. It's a touring bike. You know, it's the one I ride everywhere. And if I had two panniers with some stuff in them, could I take this bike up to Tacoma someday? And so I decided.
And so you decided to try it out.
Yeah, why not? Because, you know, well, for one thing, I had limited time, and I really wanted to do something adventurous before I had to go down to Eugene for a work conference.
Right.
So I have Thursday night is the last day of school. It's the last day I have to work until, like, the next week. And Friday morning is my sister's graduation from University of Washington, Tacoma. So it's an extension campus down at the south end of Puget Sound. And she had been in this grad program, and she was like, you know, hey, I'm going to graduate. Can you come? And
right.
So I was like, sure. And so I decide, you know what? I don't know exactly how long this is going to take. I think Google Maps estimated that it would take 15 hours. And so I decided, like, I should just go for it. Because if I leave at, like, 5 o'clock, that gets me there around 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock. Like, I will, like, I'll just slide in under the wire
right.
and be there right on time. And so I thought, hey, why not?
Now, so that, let me see if I got this straight. So that means you would have, you would been up all night. Would you have had any time to sleep before, like, all the festivities and getting around and anything? Like,
no.
Would you have had any rest?
No.
So
you're
up all
night,
and then you're up all the next day.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So I had my bike tuned up by Nathan Jones.
Yes.
There's no other Nathan. Just that one. So he fixed up my bike and had it all ready, and I had a couple of mechanical problems, and so he got it just like new.
Right.
So it was like the best time to ride 150 miles at one stretch because the bike was like perfect. Everything had been fixed.
Okay.
So I roll out from his shop, which is in southeast Portland, and I roll up from Portland. I just start rolling north, and it's a beautiful day, but I find that the wind is coming strongly from the north. So I have a headwind of at least like 10, 15 miles an hour.
Okay.
Like it's significant. I can feel it as I'm pushing against it. Like this is a wind I will have to contend with as I go north.
And so like at what point, like were you like, I'm just going to deal. I'm not turning in the towel.
Yeah. Well, know? I thought I was like, just for a minute, I was like, well, if it's going to be like this the whole night, am I even going to make it?
Right. You know? Right. Because you have very limited time. And I imagine like your own personal speed is factored into that.
Totally. Yeah.
Okay.
So I decide to go for it. I decide like, you know, it can't be windy all night, right? It's just that wouldn't
at
happen.
At some point the wind
at
has
some
to
point
die
the wind
down.
Will change. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just started pushing. I went up through North Portland, and I think I had just gotten myself a phone. Like I had not had a cell phone for years.
Right.
And I had just gotten a phone, so I had like text messaging capabilities, and I was able to like shoot messages off to people as I was going.
So did you get a phone specifically for this or
not specifically for this, but okay. It was like,
but
you know, just like the
aided
week before
the process.
Yeah, okay. For sure. Yeah. Yeah, it was nice. I felt like for the first time, you know, having a cell phone, I will say it made it easier because I was able to send messages from one person to the next.
Okay.
I was able to be in touch with Adele, who had gotten onto a train, and she had headed south earlier than I had. She was heading down early for a wedding in California, and so, you know, we hadn't seen each other. But we were able to stay in touch that way. I didn't have to search around for Wi-Fi,
right.
So I did that. It was nice. But, yeah, pushing up through Washington, a lot of this, you know, I've done probably all of these roads before, but a lot of these roads I'd never done at this time of day. So I got up through Washington, and first stop was Vancouver. I got, like, a Gatorade and some, like, horrible sausage McMuffin or something like that.
Yeah.
It was at, a tiny corner store.
Okay.
But the guy that ran the corner store was cool because he let me fill up my water bottles at his sink.
That's
so,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got some fresh water there. And I just made a couple more stops. Like I pushed. I had podcasts in my ears, so
okay.
I had, you know, information, stories, and news and things like that to help pass the time, which I think went a long ways towards me being able to do it.
Yeah,
I have a lot of respect for anybody who can do super long distance endurance stuff without some sort of iPod or something. But I find that I'm more able to turn my energy towards all that stuff when I've got something to think about besides my pain. So,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you get into a rhythm with your legs and it becomes automatic. And so you can divert your attention mostly to like other things going on.
Exactly. Yeah. So once I got past Salmon Creek, I was finally out of like urban areas and I got into the country. I got to see things that were a little bit different than I would usually see. And that was when I started to notice that like I was kind of trucking. Like I didn't have, I had not had large problems with energy. Like my legs were feeling pretty good.
Well,
so
cool.
This was a good day for me. I had not, I hadn't biked into work that morning cause my bike was at the shop. So, I think I had cardigoed from work to the garage or something like that. But, yeah, it was like the first time I'd ridden a bike, so I was still pretty fresh. So I just kept on going and it kept feeling good.
Did you think like, oh, I'm going too fast, or were you just like, hey, this feels good, I'm going to just keep doing this? Like, did you think like, oh shit, I'm going to burn myself out?
I think in the back of my mind, that was a question of like, will at some point my energy tap out? And so I worried about that, but I didn't notice it. Like, I feel like I had a lot of reserves.
Sure.
Maybe I had like a big lunch or something. I mean, I stopped, it was like every couple hours, I want to say every hour and a half to 2 hours on the way up, I was stopping somewhere and getting something to eat or something to drink or a combination of the two. So,
and you don't ride with a handlebar bag. So
I don't. That's true. I had two front panniers and that was it.
Right. So,
and my pockets.
It's not like you could stuff like any snacks for the road, like to eat while you're on the road.
It's true. Yeah, I wasn't able to access anything while I was moving. So maybe that was part of it, too. Maybe it was like if I, you know, I knew if I had to eat, I had to stop. So I just kind of ignored eating for a while.
Okay, yeah.
So I made it up to, I stopped in Woodland, and then I kept on going. I was kind of following the old Pacific Highway, and I stopped in Kelso. And at Kelso, it was like dusk. It was like sundown.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped at a Starbucks, and I was going to go in there and get some coffee and use the Wi-Fi and their bathroom and everything. And I think I got there too late to order from the inside, and I didn't want to go through the drive-thru or whatever. And so I was like, I just sat out there and kind of worked on some things and you know, figured some things out. And then I kind of launched off into the night. And so this is the first time I'd ever done like extended riding at night that wasn't in the Portland area, metro area, or some other, you know, some other city.
Right. I mean, so I did the Solstice ride. I rode all night, but we never left the city limits.
Yeah. Did you have your dyno hub at that point?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
So you know how good that can be.
Yeah.
Like if you have a good dyno hub, then you you can see a lot. Like I remember trying to ride in rural contexts on tours or something with my headlight on, just like a battery powered headlight, and doesn't do a lot even with fresh batteries. You know, those things just aren't designed to cast
a wide beam.
Yeah,
yeah,
not a lot to see by. But with the dyno hub and the generator light, like you know, I was able to see everything I needed to in front of me. Like I never felt like I was kind of outpacing my light.
Right.
So that was cool.
Yeah, that's the thing about riding in the city is you don't really realize how bright your lights are until like you know you get out to where there are no ambient lights.
Right. And you are the only light pollution.
Yeah, so you found you saw a lot more clearly than
totally.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. After a brief wrong turn, I ended up like, you know, not finding the crossing of the tracks that I needed.
Okay.
And also I was kind of going off of memory. Like I had jotted down a couple of turns to make on like a receipt or something, but I have a cell phone signal. I don't have a data plan. So I wasn't going to like check maps during the thing.
Right.
So I did my best as far as what I could find about like, this is where I think I'm supposed to be going.
So, you've ridden to your parents' place before?
Yeah, usually it took 2 days.
Okay.
Yeah, usually it was over the course of two.
Right, okay.
So, yeah. But
so, like, even though, like, you jotted things down and you looked things up on a map, like, that's still fairly familiar.
Totally. Even not having done it for a couple of years, I was still like, I remember this is the road I'm supposed to go on. This is the turn I'm supposed to make. This is where this road goes. And
so
yeah,
you knew pretty quickly that you were on the wrong road when you made the wrong turn? Or?
Eventually.
Okay.
I chased it out for a while, then I was like, you know, this is not going to take me to the railroad crossing that I need to be in at Kelso.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, on the east side of the which river? I think it's the Cowlitz. Anyways, there's like three rivers down there.
Okay.
So this is where I noticed, like leaving Kelso, once I was on the right track, I noticed that like the wind had died down and my legs were still feeling good. And so, like, the combination of cool air, like, I had to put on a sweatshirt, I think, because I'd been sweating all afternoon, kind of pushing myself and covered in sweat. And so as soon as the sun goes down, I started to kind of chill up a little bit. So I had to put on an extra layer and make sure that I was warm enough.
So but, you made sure of that. Like made sure to bring that.
Definitely. Yeah, I wanted to have like at least a change of clothes for the next day so that I didn't smell like a horse or something. And then, right. Yeah. But I found out like once I was comfortable, like the sun went down, the wind kind of stilled a little bit. So there wasn't like a prevailing headwind anymore. The air was quite still once the sun went down, which was interesting to observe the change. And then I was just like cranking up hills, like in my highest gears. I don't know how it happened. I feel like I switched over into some like beast mode or something, you know, like all of a sudden I was
it a full moon? Did you,
you know, it's a good question.
Did the werewolf come out?
Maybe so. I couldn't see my own face. So maybe that happened. My beard was big.
Yeah.
I hadn't been trimmed for a while. So, yeah, anyways, some of my favorite spots were before and after, like just at night, like riding at night in rural context where there was almost no one. I was worried about cars, like, you know, people passing me. But
Sure.
Anyone that I encountered on the road was more than polite and respectful of me on the road. I think because I was visible enough. I'm not usually a fan of reflective gear. But for this trip, I bought a neon reflective vest at a garage sale, and I wore that at night.
Do you think that helped?
It at least helped me feel safer in my head.
Okay.
And I wore a helmet at night, even though I'm not usually a helmet guy in the city. I wore a helmet for this one because I wanted to stay safe in the event of a crash or something. And you never know what you're going to find, like what you're going to roll over at night. Right. Even though my light was good, I was still kind of worried about that. So I pushed and I pushed for another couple hours through the rural areas. The stars are amazing.
Oh, I bet, man.
At least that
man.
Night. No clouds.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, you're outside of the city. All you have is those pinpricks of light, and it's like the entire sky is covered in stars, and it was just amazing. I did run out of fuel. I almost bonked because I hadn't eaten in Kelso. Like, the Starbucks was closed. I didn't make time to stop and get any more energy food.
Okay.
And so at some point, I feel myself running out of energy, and I'm like, in the middle of BFE. There's like no, like there's nothing around me anywhere.
Sure.
It's like all farmland, all hills, you know, kind of sort of forested, a lot of steep hills that I'm not feeling like I can climb as well as I was before. And I had pushed and pushed and pushed, and I was just finally like, I could feel my reserves draining away. And so I dug into my bag and I had like one more mini Cliff Bar.
Okay.
I think. And like a half a bottle of water or something. And so I got those. Ended up making it into Centralia. Okay. There was a Carl's Jr. at a truck stop.
Uh-huh.
And so I had a couple of fast food sandwiches. Yeah, okay. It's one of those 24-hour joints.
Okay.
So I bought one of those like external battery chargers that you can get for your smartphone.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a truck stop, so they have everything. So for $20, I got like one more full battery charge for my iPhone.
So you weren't worried about running out of like podcasts.
Totally.
To listen to.
Exactly. Yeah, that was very important to keep me going in my head.
You listen to podcasts and not music?
Yeah. I like ideas.
Yeah.
I like listening to ideas when I ride.
Okay.
So for me anyways, that's what keeps me going.
Interesting.
So moving up through, I also got like more Cliff Bars to power my trip and then some caffeine, I think. So I pushed north from Centralia back into the rural areas and from like, it was about 2 a.m. or 1 a.m. maybe. Between 1 and 2, I left Centralia. And between that and 4 a.m. is like my travel time between there and Tacoma. And that was more like even quieter than I expected it to be. Like where I thought I was going to be, but I thought there was going to be like truckloads of shouting drunk guys and that they'd be like hazing me the entire time. But it turns out like nobody goes to Bucota. Nobody goes to Tenino at night. And all these little towns on the highway, it was Highway 508, I think, between Centralia and Tacoma. And like, there's just nothing happening there. Like the worst that I got was commuter traffic when the sun started to come up. Like I got
you got a few like people getting,
it's like getting up and going like around like 4:35, like so many people driving into the city.
There's
all these people who like to live in the country, but want to like go work in the city.
Sure.
And so like the last stretch is just, there's like a military reservation on both sides and then this straight highway that goes for like 5 or 10 miles. I just felt like it took forever and there was never enough shoulder and there was always traffic on my left. So that was maybe the roughest part, but then rolled into Tacoma, found a Starbucks, turned out I got there at like 5:30 in the morning. So
that's about where you were expecting, right?
Well, I thought it was going to take like 15 hours. It turns out it only took 12.
Okay.
So apparently I beat the Google bike, wherever that thing was when it mapped it out.
Do you think like, do you think somebody actually bikes that?
I think they do.
Yeah.
I'd like to work for Google as their Google bike. Yeah. Their trip time planner. But I had several cups of coffee and then made plans to meet up with my family at the Tacoma Dome where the graduation ceremony was. Turns out, commencement speakers,
yep,
always boring.
Oh.
I thought it was just mine, but, you know, always.
All of them were.
Yeah.
Did you find it hard to stay awake then?
I kind of nodded off during that, but yeah, then like they did the thing where they play like Pomp and Circumstance and all the graduates come up and get their certificates and everything. And
woke you right back up?
No. No, I actually, my family, I think it was my mom, was just like, why don't you just lay down like between the seats? And it's the Tacoma Dome. So
like
it's
you
like,
used to do when you were a kid.
Exactly. Yeah. So I like, you know, I took off my sweater and I rolled it up under my head and I just laid on the concrete and I slept for like an hour.
That's awesome.
And then we all went out to lunch. So anyway, it was fun to do.
What did your family think when you showed up at 5:30 or whatever?
I think, they didn't see me until like 9:30.
Oh, okay.
Because, yeah, I drank coffee for like 3 hours.
Oh, jeez.
I drank a lot of coffee. Yeah, but I think my sister said that she was like really honored that I had come, which was cool. I felt it was good to, you know, to kind of support her in that. And I wasn't able to be there, like, you know, I was going to go touring for the summer, so I couldn't be there for my dad's birthday. I couldn't be there for my sister's birthday. I couldn't be there for a lot of things. And so
sure,
it was just kind of that trip was one trip to kind of say, hey, I love you all, you know, and hope you have a great summer. So, yeah. So anyways, that was my trip. And now I know that I can ride overnight. So I'm kind of tempted to do it again. Like, I don't think, maybe not to Tacoma this time, but like maybe somewhere else.
Yeah.
The overnight riding bug has kind of bit me.
I got to say, I kind of like riding at night as well.
I think
like,
you and I should do this some night.
Okay.
Let's do like a Monday, Tuesday.
Well, okay. So yeah, here's the thing. Actually, my days off are going to be switching, so I don't know if I could do a Monday, Tuesday.
Oh, well, that's fine. Can we still podcast?
Yeah, well, so this was while I had the Monday, Tuesday, though. Like, I was thinking about this. Like, what if after a day of podcasting, just, like, heading out to Stubb Stewart or something simple like that?
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I'm sure we could make that happen.
Yeah. I think there are ways. I like this idea.
Yeah, and I think with two people, it's even safer, you know. I mean, even safer with, like, you know, four or five, I imagine, just because that's more lights out there moving about in the night.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, more dino hubs.
Yeah.
Light up the night.
That's honestly my biggest fear. And like you said, that wasn't really an issue for you, but my big fear of riding at night is like that errant, and not even necessarily drunk, but just somebody who's not paying attention because they're so used to like having the road to themselves.
Totally, yeah. Like anything could happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we'll have to choose our route carefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe we could just do like I don't know, like Milo McIver or something.
At nightfall, we ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll lead a midnight mystery ride like way out to like Shampooey. Be like, here we are.
Lead a mystery ride until no one is following us. Just keep on going into the night.
Fuck you guys.
I think that's happened before.
Oh, really?
I think. I've heard stories. I mean, at least like this, like the camping happened.
The MMR that never ended.
Right, right. It did go a long ways into the night.
Really?
I think people were warned to bring camping gear.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So. Well, hey, should we wrap this whole thing up?
Sure.
All right. Hey, two for one. It's a good week.
Yep.
The bounty of August.
Remember those days when we used to put out two in a week?
Yeah, those were good days.
It was like,
seriously.
What was that, May, April?
Yeah. And hot dogs only cost a nickel.
I wore an onion on my belt, which was the style at the time.
So, yeah.
I'll tell you what killed vaudeville. It was the talking pictures. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text 2503-847-9774.
Twitter at sprocketpodcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Kurt Bird for our headline sound-up.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Johnny K. Shadowfoot,
Katrina Malamgard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lean, Richard Winzinski, Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Wise, Doug Cohen-Miller,
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, John Blood,
Allison Wiley, Andy Brunner, Dave Knows,
Lars V, Chris Smith, Chris DeCaster,
Caleb Jenkinson, JP Cooley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick R. Shane, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian Poole,
Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson,
Drew the Welder, Anna, Krista Sukas,
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, and Shelley and Troy.
We missed the beat because we were screwing around.
Now brush your teeth
and go to bed.
I think that brush your teeth and go to bed that we missed it should be like on your soundboard.
And go to bed.